another podcast episode with no 15 minutes of announcements. We'll just get right to it. Are you in a, do you need to stretch or anything? Are you in podcast mode?
Podcast mode, 100%.
Okay. My buddy, Katie Heltman, is back. And you had, and by the way, that's the GOAT. Alex, the GOAT, gets. Alex is a local documentarian, wildlife filmmaker.
Hello.
An aspiring podcast co-host.
All right.
He just wanted to hang out. I'm like, come on, let's do it. We'll sit with Katie. You messaged me a couple weeks ago, and you're like, when are we doing this again?
Yeah.
This is all you. I was just going to kick back and relax and see what you wanted to talk about.
No, that's your job.
No!
That's not my job. That's your job.
You can't demand a podcast and then have me put all...
I didn't demand anything.
Okay, fine.
I said we should do another one. It's been 6 months.
I think it was like... No, it wasn't 6 months. It was maybe like April or May.
All right, whatever.
So it was like 3 or 4.
Are you
okay? Do I need to call someone?
I'm good.
Okay.
Promise.
We could talk about your Facebook post that you thought more of than I did from last September, which was 2 Septembers ago, when I was like, why don't you kill yourself?
It's not exact.
It was close.
Close to that.
It was not like, why don't you do this already? It was more like, what stops you from doing it? Because I remember I was going through a period where I was like in one of my shitty moments, and I'm like, it would be so easy for me to just be gone. You, knowing that you've been through so much shit, and you were still alive, it went through my head like, I need to ask you, like, why didn't you ever kill yourself? And maybe I asked you that when we chatted before.
Yeah. You
know, very morbid place to start, right?
I mean, kind of. But it's true.
It was a great post. It meant a lot to you, and it gave me a lot of thoughts.
It did, like, and even like the response that when I made the original post, because I think you worded it something along the lines of, like, what kept you from killing yourself? And my response was, it wasn't wanting to die, it was the want to live.
Okay.
Is why I was still alive at that point in time. You know, but now, like, let's see, what's the date today?
Today's September 24th.
So, in just under a week, I'll have 2 years and 11 months clean. So, getting close to the 3-year mark. And when they're going through things with like recovery, it takes your brain from anywhere from 12 to 18 months to be able to like fully recover without any mood or mind altering substances. So a couple months back when I was struggling with some depression, that's when I reached out to you to see what I could do on a Saturday afternoon and where I could go to try and seek help, because being this far along in my recovery and the place I was at mentally, like, I knew something wasn't right.
When was this?
Early July.
Was it?
Yeah. I messaged you right after the 4th of July.
Did I give you some help?
You did.
Where'd I send you?
You told me I could go with Crisis or Harbor or probably Arrowhead or one of, like, Flower Hospital.
One of them? Okay. Okay. And okay. So we can talk. This is where we can really start things. So it will be almost 3 years, but it's not always an arrow up. There are setbacks, and it sounds like you. So what took you to this depression back in July?
There was a lot of things that kind of just came to a head. A lot of like personal situations that I didn't know how to deal with, and the advice I was getting from people who had been through it just wasn't working for me.
What were they offering?
It was more of like a kind of like offering in what regard?
What were they suggesting that wasn't working other than medication or drugs?
Well,
because that would have been your old go-to, right?
Yeah, definitely. Drugs or alcohol or something.
When things
simple.
Get a little challenging, drugs, alcohol, numb it up for a little bit, and then before you know it, you're off the wagon again.
Yeah, we don't want that.
So you knew. Did you know, because I'm sure in these 3 years you've experienced other challenging times and you had to think real hard, but this time when this blue period hit, did you even lightly consider any of that stuff, or was your brain, for lack of a better term, fixed?
I mean, I wasn't really thinking of like going back out and using, but I was thinking like maybe things would be better if I wasn't here.
Right.
You know, so in one of the options in a way for my mind to think of ending it for myself would be to go back and use with having no tolerance anymore, I could, you know, overdose and die pretty peacefully.
Maybe. You'd be a headache for everybody else, though.
Right.
Do it the fast way.
What's the fast way?
A lot of fast ways. I don't want to tell I don't want to tell you how to kill yourself, but I'm glad. Here's the thing. You have repaired your relationship with your mother, right?
Yes.
So, your mom would be super fucking pissed if you killed yourself.
For sure.
Exactly.
For sure.
There you go. Just like whenever I get like that, I go, I could never do this to my dad, and I don't want my dogs eating their own shit because I've been dead for a week in the apartment.
That wouldn't be enjoyable.
Exactly. Like, man dies, but dogs eat their own shit for a week. What kind of a dog owner did he really say he was? See, I don't want that.
Right. As much as you love dogs and as much as you post about your dogs.
Exactly. It's like
that'd be terrible.
It was all a farce. Glad he's dead. So there we go. You got to have like that tent pole that you can grab onto. For you, it should be your mom. Put all that hard work in. And go back to the previous podcast for all of that, where you had a really shitty relationship with your mom, but you worked hard to fix it.
Right. Yeah, and staying sober is the only way that I continue that relationship with her.
And sober and
alive.
Sober and alive.
Sober and alive. There we go. Yeah.
What were your friends? Were your friends suggesting using, or were they suggesting other things that you didn't want to do?
No, I mean the people that like when I hit this point that I reached out to. I mean, I actually talked to like the nurse at my job, and I talked to her for a couple hours because she's also in recovery. So she understood like how big of a deal this is to someone who is in recovery to be this low, and how easy it is to just pick up and go back out. So like spending a couple hours talking to her definitely helped me in that aspect, and to realize like I needed to dive further into my recovery again, like I had in the beginning, because going to meetings and doing step work and all of that stuff had kind of dwindled away for me. Real life came in, and working 12-hour shifts and
it's like anything else. When you stop doing it for a while, you lose your edge.
Right, and that's where I was at.
And you're kind of becoming more and more like a. Whatever a normal person is these days, where like with somebody like me, like I would never think to go do that. When I get down like that, I have to tap into the coping skills that I kind of think I've learned over the years. And then you, instead of going to what you did in the past when something was challenging, it's like normal people coping skills.
Right. What do I do now?
Meditate, yoga, go to the batting cage because you like to play softball, shit like that.
Right. But at that point, as deep as I was, nothing was enjoyable for me.
Yeah, that's depression, all
right. Right. I mean, there was days where I literally like got out of bed to go to the bathroom and get something to drink.
And then go back to bed.
Right. Tommy would like bring dinner upstairs and I would eat dinner in bed. It would take me 8 hours to get dressed. I had no motivation to do anything.
Let's go backwards if we could. What do you think triggered that got you there? What was going on? And if you don't want to get too personal, that's fine.
It might be a little too personal for this one.
But you know what it was. Like, yeah. You could look at it and go, that was the trigger, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yep.
So you were where you were. You spoke to the nurse. What do you think? How long did this last?
Like the deep part of it?
The whole thing from the trigger happening to where you started to emerge from it. 2 weeks? A month?
It was probably closer to a month. It was right before 4th of July that I had the breakdown, and I took a couple of days off of work, and I was like, try and fix this on my own, because that's how we do things. Like, we don't need help from somebody else. Just fix it myself.
And sometimes nobody knows you better than you. It's good to have an objective ear to listen to, but it's the same thing with me. Like, I know for the most part, like, half of the times when I hit these spots, I just need to sleep it off after a day, and I can wake up the next day, new day, and things have washed away. Sometimes that doesn't work, but a lot of times it does. For me, I know if it's like 2 days instead of one, then I need to find that objectivity. But I know that if I can sleep it off, it's going to work.
And that wasn't working for me. So I had spent those probably, I think it was 4 days.
Just in bed?
Yeah, pretty much in bed. And I tried to go to work on a Saturday, and I got there and I was like, I can't do it. Like, I know I can't make it through this day. So I left work early, and Tommy came home from his job, and I ended up going to Arrowhead for an assessment. And I knew the magic words that if I couldn't get what I wanted in order to still, I guess, have my job, or I don't know what my reasoning was. Like, I didn't feel like I needed to be impatient, but I knew what to say.
Gotcha.
If it got to that point.
Okay.
But I did my assessment, and it took a little while, and they ended up putting me in like a mental health PHP.
What's a PHP?
Partial hospitalization patient. Mm. So you're there from 9:30 to 3, Monday through Friday.
Did you say I'm thinking about killing myself?
No. Didn't.
And they kept you in there?
They didn't keep me. They just let me do, because I didn't go actual inpatient to like have to stay at Arrowhead. I was able to come home every night. And
so did you say, I'm trying to think what you were, were the magic words I'm thinking about using again?
No, I didn't have to use the magic words.
Oh, I know, but
it would have been, I'm going to kill myself.
Because
I know those are the magic words.
Right, I'm thinking about killing myself.
Or and somebody else.
Yeah. I'm thinking about doing...
Are you suicidal or homicidal?
I'm going to something on Friday with my friends at NAMI, and I guess it's speaking to police officers and things like that. And I'm considering saying something. Like, they want to know what it's like to be inside the head of someone like us. Like, why do you think like that? And one of the things I've never said before until like this very second is there have been dark days like that you're describing. And I've thought, you know, forget about like killing myself, which I've basically resigned to never do. But I've thought, I do so much good. You know, I try to take care of myself. Why don't I just be the bad guy? Maybe the bad guy is a little bit more rewarding, and doing these indiscriminately violent things just because it's doing the good thing is not working out for me.
Right.
And that sounds awful, and that might be a terrible thing to say in front of a bunch of police officers, but there have been times in my life where I've considered going 100% Joker, because I do believe in like certain famous Batman comics and other things, everybody is one bad day away from being the bad guy.
I totally agree with that, you know, and like, for me, like, I've done enough bad in my past to those that I love, especially, you know, that I don't, that thought wouldn't cross my mind, you know, but like the treatment I was in was supposed to be like a 2-week treatment. And at 2 weeks, I was not ready. I was not,
I wish I would have known this. I would not be happy.
You know, like, they started me on some meds, and, like, I had been on antidepressants before when I was younger, but it was, like, after a month, I would stop taking them. Like, I don't need them. I'm fine.
What'd they give you at first?
Back then.
In July?
No, I'm, like... No,
well, I mean, in July, what'd they give you?
Lexapro.
Okay. Man, I've heard a bunch of people taking that lately. Must be the new one.
Maybe.
Maybe that's a big pharma's pushing this week. And so it didn't work?
No, it is working now.
Okay. But it didn't then?
Yeah, like, so, like, but I know it takes a while to build up in your system.
Yeah, everybody's different.
So I was thinking it should have been, you know, working already, and, you know, the doctor was like, you know, give it some more time. They extended me in group for an extra week, and, you know, I had to learn, again, like, some healthy personal boundaries for myself. Things that I couldn't do anymore, because me doing those things was bringing me down. It wasn't helping me anymore, because I'm a put everybody else before me. Like, I'm always last. I'll make sure everybody else is taken care of, and then comes Katie. And doing that was just bringing me further and further down. Yeah. To where, I mean, I have trouble with self-esteem as it is, and then to do stuff and not feel like it's appreciated. And I'm not going to say, like, get recognition for it, but...
The simple acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Nothing major. Just simple courtesy.
Yeah.
Which we've lost a lot of. Perhaps you've noticed we've lost a lot of courtesy and civility in our modern world.
And it's terrible.
It is. But I'll say this to you, and I have a talk to do on Thursday with some, like, Zeph counselors. And the theme or the crux of it is take care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of other people.
Right. That's why they say, like, start with, like, a plant when you're in recovery. And if you keep that alive, move to a dog. And if you keep that alive,
You know. I have much easier time with dogs than plants. A plant won't bark at you and tell you to go out. It's got to go out. It doesn't feel well. Go big or go home.
I'm not good with plants neither.
So you're good now?
I'm better.
Good?
Better. I mean, the medication is definitely helping. There's been some trying times where I'm like, if I wasn't on this, I don't know if I would have made it through as easily as I did.
It's good to have it. It's like a kickstand or training wheels.
And I'll notice, like, if I forget to take it for like 2 days, on that third day, I'm like, why am I acting like this?
How do you forget to take it for 2 days? Bad, Katie.
Because I'm busy with life.
I don't want to hear it.
I know.
Same time every day.
You can't same time me every day. I can't.
I would never trust you with birth control. Never.
That's why I don't do a pill.
Can we shoot Lexapro into your butt?
That, you know.
Find a way to do it the same time every day. Thank you.
All right. I'll work on it.
Do you brush your teeth at the same time every day?
No.
Is there anything you do the same time every day?
No. That's why, yeah, no.
Find a way to do this. Because you know the consequences now.
Right.
Now you know. Now when you start to drip a little bit, you know. It's like, didn't take it?
Right, exactly. But it's good that, like, instead of being like, no, I'm okay without it, I know, like, I have enough common sense now to realize, like, I need this at this point in time, you know? And I've started seeing a therapist, and, like, she moved me up from every month to, like, every other week. So, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of work I need to do. And I see that, and I'm grateful I'm at a point that I can recognize these red flags or warning signs of my mental health.
Yeah.
Because it's not my recovery health that I'm currently worried about. It's my mental health and me.
Yeah, you're in between the ears like us normal people now. And you have reached truly an enlightened point where you can recognize it within yourself. Because when I have the opportunity to share this thought, this opinion, I do. I like to think that when someone commits suicide or kills themselves, people around them, they're like, I wish I could have done more and blah, blah, blah. You know, how come I didn't see this coming? And I'll tell you why. Because a lot of people who are intent on killing themselves, they are the mirror image of psychopaths. It's like, I had no idea my neighbor was flaying bodies and killing people in his basement. Well, I because they're a psychopath. They hide things. And suicide is the mirror image of that. They were smiling and laughing when things were truly devastating on the inside for you. So there's really nothing that you could have done. Part of being a psychopath on one side or the other is being able to hide things. And you can hide the bodies in your basement, and you can hide the misery that you have. But you now know it within yourself. And that's more than anybody else will be able to help you with.
Right. You know, and as much as, you know, like the one of the first things someone said to me is like, you know, you have this thought, but you're talking about it. You're not keeping it to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, is a problem shared is a problem cut in half. You know, so the more...
You're gonna steal that.
But the people who see me on a daily basis or at work, you know, and I'm around them for 12 hours and they've gotten to know my personality, when I came back to work, you know, they kind of said, like, I noticed you were off. And I said something to somebody else about it. You know, but it was like, what do we do? You know, because I'll be that person that says, no, I'm fine.
Right.
Or I'll just put some headphones in and just block everybody out instead of talking. And when I finally was at the point, I was like, I'm struggling. Like, I'm not okay. But I can say I'm not okay. And there are people that care.
Right. Well, you've come a long, long way. You know, and granted, you've been through such a gauntlet, but there are people who've been through a lot and they refuse to address it or realize it, and it just drags on and on and on.
Live in misery.
Or unhappiness or whatever it may be. But to recognize it within yourself is like such a huge step, because then you can go to where you need to and explain what's going on. You can talk to whoever is going to, you know, give you the medication or the therapist and be like, here's exactly what I was thinking. Because like I said, nobody knows you better than you.
And like when I was in high school and seeing therapists, you know, I wasn't I was never honest with them from the beginning, you know, whereas today, like, I've learned that I can't keep my secrets anymore, because then I'm only harboring myself.
Right.
You know, so I'm okay with, like, being completely see-through to somebody, you know, because, like, I have the people who are extremely close to me, but it's difficult to share everything with someone that you deal with on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas it's simpler to go to a therapist, you know, who...
Because they're objective.
Right, right.
They don't have the preconceived notions and biases about you. And it's kind of like... it's interesting. It's such a dichotomy when people we work with or people we're around for long periods during the day, like, they can notice some changes, but those same people won't notice that you put on like 10 pounds. Whereas other people who you only see infrequently, like, wow, it looks like you put some weight on there. So yeah. It's amazing. Like, the closer you get, sometimes the farther away you are. But I kind of like the old line, like, everybody should have somebody to talk to, like a therapist or something. It's kind of like a dumb cliche these days, but we do need some objectivity in our lives. And whether that's a therapist or how people strike up online friendships, because the people close to us are hard to talk to. They say they're there for us, but their opinions and their biases that are already built in are hard for them to help us.
Right. You know, so I'm like, when I see my therapist, I have... have no qualms with whatever's going on, of just spewing it at her.
Yeah.
And it helps.
That helps her help you.
Right.
You've come to grips with, like, taking something for the rest of your life, like a medication?
If that's what it takes, yeah.
I don't laugh, but I just like to make the easy comparison. It's like, if somebody who needs to take, like, a blood pressure pill, like, here, either take this or your heart's going to fucking explode. You're going to take the fucking pill.
Right.
Here, take this, your brain's gonna fucking melt down. Eh, I don't really know. No, take it. Take it. But it's that's like one of the few stigmas that I'm able to actually, like, see and be tangible. Because for me, like, talking about this stuff, it's very easy for me. But with medications, to make that comparison, it's the only tangible thing I see. But it helps me, and I'll take mine for the rest of my life and get it adjusted as it needs to be moving throughout life.
Right, you know, and if this stops working, you know what I mean? Like, I know there's other options.
Yeah, because our bodies change. We get older, we need higher dosages. We need less. We need to try something else, because guess what? Science is almost always usually getting better, and maybe in 10 years, Lexapro will be antiquated and there will be a new medication. And they'll be like, here, take this, and it'll make you feel like you did 10 years ago. I don't know, whatever. But science is often a great thing.
Right. I mean, we had a group about medications one day, and people were talking about, I thought this medication, you know, took care of this. When the nurse comes back and says, actually, they've realized it doesn't help with that. It helps with this instead.
Yeah.
You know, so people took medication for one specific reason 10 years ago. Now it's something completely opposite. It is crazy.
Science! I'm glad you're here. My buddy, Nick Comives, is going to be in on Wednesday. We're going to do I wanted to ask him some city stuff, but we had coffee a couple of weeks ago, and he talked to me about something that I then read an editorial about in The Blade, and I'm kind of I'm blindsiding you with this, but maybe you'll know a little bit about it. And forgive me if I'm incorrectly calling these places what they are, but they're like supervised injection centers?
Yes. Kind of like that.
What are they properly called?
I don't fully actually know, like, the proper name of them.
Okay.
And
I guess they're beginning to become popularized and with supported science in other places. And
I actually had someone fairly close to me, like a soon-to-be, like, family member, and she read probably one of the same articles, and, you know, was completely against it. And being a recovering addict, like, I was lucky enough to not get Hep C during my addiction, because Hep C runs rampant in the IV usage community. So with the safe sites, you know...
We'll call them that.
Yeah, we'll call them that. I mean, we could Google it, but... it's a podcast. Who does that?
We're here for science, not the internet shit.
But... it's not needle exchanges and things like that. might be
no,
it.
That doesn't. No, no. Wait. So to be clear, these are places when an addict goes to get their fix, but it is under the supervised care of some kind of physician, clinician, so that they can do it safely.
Right.
As opposed to doing it recklessly. It's kind of like I made an example. Did you hear about, like, TARDA is going to start having buses go from UT to downtown and into uptown?
Didn't hear about that.
Okay, well, that's happening. And somebody's going to go, that's my tax money taking kids to get drunk. Well, at least they're in a bus and they're not drinking and driving.
Right.
And guess what? They're going to drink anyway.
Right. Just so my point in when she brought this up, I was like, an addict's going to use no matter what. The thing about being in a safe area is, one, they can be using a clean needle, so the Hep C can't get transferred as easily. They have the person there in case they do overdose, you know what I mean, that can revive them. But there's also treatment options and brochures and information for those addicts that are at their bottom, that are at their breaking point, you know, who don't know where to go or who to reach out to in order to get help. Those resources are there as well. So as an addict, like, I wasn't going to stop using until I was ready to.
Right.
You know, I did whatever it took in my power to get high for the day, multiple times a day. You know, and I'm not even sure how I ended up at Zeph. Probably because I was on Medicaid and nobody else took Medicaid really at that point in time. Because I had been through Compass back before they changed. I forgot my point of this.
Would you resources. Would you be an advocate of these safe sites for addicts?
I would be.
Okay.
Yeah, I would be. Because, like I said, it could be that even if it helps one person.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, I understand everyone's, like, pissed off about Narcan being free, and we're not even going to get into that because technically it's not free, but you can go through classes and, like, I could have two doses of Narcan in case I came across somebody who was overdosed, you know what I mean? And I could choose, as a decent human being, to save their life.
Or let them die,
you know, because everyone still likes to, not everyone, but there's still the stigma of let the junkie die.
I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't even think junkie. The way my brain works is I'd have to go through them, and I'd have to, like, is this person worth saving? Like, look through all their IDs. Oh, they have a library card. Oh, they have a Kroger. Oh, they have a PetSmart card. You know what? They have two dogs at home, I bet. Let me save this person. Yeah, I wouldn't react that quickly. But there's politics that go in it. It's
right, and
we politicize this issue, unfortunately.
Like, I understand, like, the people who would be against it. But those are still, I feel, would be the people who have the stigma against addiction and not realizing that it very well could have stemmed from a doctor or an abusive relationship or, you know, something along those lines.
It's not just some poor person that dropped out of school because it wasn't for them and then they went to this life of drugs, as you and I have talked about and others as well, that, yeah, like you said, this thing could have come because they fractured their back and all of a sudden they got addicted to drugs that they couldn't get anymore, so they went to awful places, and now, before you know it, a guy who's supposed to be supporting a family is on the streets as a heroin addict.
Yeah.
Because he broke his back playing softball or something.
It happens.
Not your typical, like, Law & Order SVU junkie type.
Right. Not some person in the alley, you know what I mean, holding up a sign to get money.
If there's been any reason why this issue has been addressed so aggressively as it is, forget about its pervasiveness. I think it's because it hasn't discriminated class, gender, or ethnicity.
Right.
Because of the variety of reasons that people could get so hooked on it.
Right. You know, so it's spread out across, like you said, like, every platform pretty much. And, like, I'm not a person to be able to say this person deserves to live or die. Like, that's not on me, you know, like, but the person who chooses to be in that safe site, you know what I mean, to administer the Narcan or whatever, like, they're making that decision. Just like I understand the addict is making the decision to use, you know, but if they grab a pamphlet from that area and they look through it and they finally get to that point of saying, like, I need help, like, oh yeah, I remember this place I can go.
Yeah. Like, these people were willing to give me free heroin. They were going to give me, like, a free high. I just had to take this pamphlet.
I mean, you had to buy the drugs somewhere else and take the drugs with
you. Oh, do
you?
I don't know how it works.
Yeah. Like, okay. they don't sell you the drugs there.
Well, whatever. Well, whatever. These people watch me do illegal drugs.
Right.
All I had to do was take this lousy pamphlet. And hey, wait a second. Maybe if they were willing to let me do that, maybe they won't be as judgmental as I think they would be. Maybe they, in that one moment, in that one semblance of hope that a junkie or an addict has, they can go back to that place and go, hey, I'm not high right now and I'm not looking to get high. I just want to know more how that I could stop doing this. And you're right. If it just helps one person and tells one more story like yours,
it's worth it.
A family gets its dad back. A great employee gets to go back to work. Or maybe a person who has for 25 years been neglected by society turns their life around and becomes an important part.
It's worth it.
How's everything else with your big fat fucking ring?
I mean, it's good.
You look great. Your hair's glowing. You look healthy.
It's down. It hasn't been.
You look great.
Well, thanks.
I would totally hit on you and ask you if you have a boyfriend, which I know you do, but I'm just saying, you would turn my head. And I like your glasses. Everything looks good.
Well, thanks.
How was summer softball season?
It's going pretty well.
It's still going?
Sure is. It's my fall league, so it goes through like the end of October.
Where do you guys play?
I play in Holland at Homecoming Park, and then I play down in Rudolph.
What's that cost?
For me, nothing.
How come? Tommy pays? Your fiance?
No. My one league, we've won enough years in a row that gets taken off for the next year.
I like that.
And sponsorships. Both leagues have sponsors. So if I buy something, it's usually like my team jersey, which this year is really cool. We, in Holland, we play for like Down syndrome awareness. So our little mascot is actually my tattoo artist. It's his son, and he has Down syndrome. So we play for awareness of him, and we're selling jerseys right now that all the proceeds are going to go to, you know, the Down syndrome Foundation to help kids in the Special Olympics and to get them classes and stuff like that.
Outside of, like, family stuff and personal, like, your relationship with your fiance, with your mom, wherever you are with you, outside of that stuff, what's your favorite thing about being clean?
I mean, probably playing softball would be one.
Okay.
And then probably second, being able to like pay bills. Yeah, and like live.
I was gonna say, like, I don't even care if something like small, like I really like going into Target and having money to like impulse buy now.
Any impulse buying is for like Tommy's kids, so
all right,
it's
still
cool.
Okay, no, I mean,
or shoes. I like shoes.
There you go. There you go. See, you're like a real person now. Got depression issues. You want to buy shoes. Welcome to us.
Welcome to normalcy.
Yeah. No, that
is this normal?
Yeah, I guess so. These days, yeah. I want to play a game with you before we wrap up.
Or oh, jeez.
Do more stuff.
I don't
okay, this
care.
Is especially tailored for you. Alex wanted to know, like, how do you come up with all this stuff for the show? Like, where are your notes? And they're in my phone. And he said, what did you see earlier?
What?
You've been waiting like 3 hours for this.
Am I playing? Wait, for what? Oh, your game?
He saw PSL.
Oh, this is what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Pumpkin spice latte?
Okay, yeah.
We're going to do rank these things. Oh. These are all mostly catered to you, okay?
Okay, so how many are there?
I will give you three things. You will rank them. Okay?
All right.
Pumpkin spice latte, gingerbread latte, black coffee.
Black coffee bottom. Gross.
Hmm.
So gross. That's three.
I would probably go pumpkin spice two and gingerbread one.
Okay. I like I'm not all about this pumpkin spice life, but the gingerbread lattes are pretty good.
I've never had one, so I don't know, but I think we discussed like my coffee before is probably 30% sugar, 40% cream, 30% coffee.
A little bit coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my coffee ratio.
Like, it's like sugar and cream with a little bit of coffee mixed in.
Yeah, if you give me black coffee, I won't touch it. It's disgusting.
Never have to give you any of my coffee.
Nope.
Alex, how would you rank those things?
Black coffee first, and then gingerbread second, pumpkin spice third. Pumpkin, like artificial pumpkin flavor gives me a headache. I don't know what it is. Same with like artificial banana. Like, I feel like those both just like trigger a crazy headache of mine. Like, I get a migraine from them. I don't know what that means. Am I allergic? I don't know.
No, but you love sugar.
I do love sugar.
Sugar gives people headaches.
Which is weird. So, like, oh, it doesn't give me a headache. I'm so, like, immune to it now. We talked about my sugar problems earlier. That
he's
like,
a sugar addict.
I used to be. Then I got clean.
From sugar?
I mean, like, it makes you crave sweets.
Really?
So I would eat a lot of candy and cereal and stuff.
I'm not.
Are you a heroin addict?
No.
He was just telling me earlier. He's like trying to like get diabetes.
I'm not trying. No, you totally twisted that for anybody.
No,
I was like, I'm not trying, but I'm doing really bad. I'm doing really bad at avoiding it.
How do you rank them?
Me?
Yeah.
Black coffee. Gingerbread, pumpkin spice at like 74.
You guys are gross.
Dude, I want to try. Where's the gingerbread at? Have you had a gingerbread latte somewhere?
Starbucks.
Do they do it?
In November.
Oh, you got to get the salted cold foam cold brew. It's really good. You won't like it because it's mostly like strong coffee flavor.
Next up. Now, there's four here. So, forgive me. So, rank these 1 to 4. Spring, fall, summer, winter.
Spring, summer, fall, winter.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I asked you that because you're an outdoor person. You like to be outside playing sports.
And I get cold really easily. Like, whatever draft this is a little chilly for me.
That's... My neighbor the other day, on Saturday morning, he's like, isn't this great? I'm like, no.
No.
He's like, but you can wear anything and it'll be okay. I'm like, I know. And he's like, yoga, and I'm sure there's meditation involved. I'm like, look, I know it's all about staying in the present, but all I think about with this weather is, at any time, we could get 8 inches of snow, and I don't want that shit.
Nope, I don't want it either, and if it's not 75 and sunny, then I'm cold.
Yep. All right. Next up, watching a game, like on TV, playing a game, being at a game.
Playing the game, being at a game, watching it on TV.
Okay. Yankees, Lakers, Cowboys.
That order, Yankees are always number one.
Are you a Yankees fan? It's so small. I didn't know you were a Yankees fan. I just picked the three biggest bandwagon teams in the country. Yankees, Lakers. Are you a Cowboy? You're a Patriots fan. We'll get to that. Are you a Lakers fan?
I was a Shaq fan. Okay. So like I was a Magic fan, and then I followed Shaq to the Lakers. And then when he went to the Heat, I was kind of like, eh, whatever. I don't really watch much basketball.
Okay. What kind of music do you like?
Rock.
Perfect.
Haven't you seen, like, any of my concert posts?
No. But you did... You went to some show or are going to some show?
Well,
Avenged Sevendust?
Avenged Sevenfold had to cancel their tour because their lead singer had to have surgery. So that was one of the ones you're supposed to go to that got canceled. Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be another rock show here in Toledo.
There is. We're going Friday.
Who is it?
Shinedown and Godsmack.
Okay. I know... Second Chance, and Shinedown did 45.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's another Shinedown song that I like. All right, anyway, the three that I chose were pop, country, hip-hop.
Country, hip-hop, pop.
Wow, you and I would never get along. Never get along. All right, your dog, your fiancé... Me.
Fiance dog you.
Okay. Still in the top three.
I do have a cat now, though. I don't know if you saw that one.
A cat's going to be last. Dead last. I didn't see the cat. I'll block your cat pics.
Tommy would agree with you on that one. Tommy hates the cat.
More dog pics, less cat pics, and rock pics. Candy corn, peanut butter cups, player's choice. Means you get to pick whatever you want.
Oh, man. Player's choice, peanut butter cup.
What? Yeah, but I need one.
Well, I don't... No,
what's your favorite candy?
It changes.
Fine. Because,
like, I love chocolate and peanut butter, so, like, Reese's peanut butter cup has always been up there, but okay. I really like Reese's Pieces or mini chewy sweet tarts.
Okay. All right.
So good.
All right, so we'll go peanut butter cups, mini chewy sweet tarts, candy corn.
Yeah.
Sugar addict, Alex.
It's all number one. Literally everything is number one. I want to go into a really quick tangent though. I realized that people from Ohio, we say Reese's Pieces.
No, well.
Is that Ohio exclusive?
It's Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, I know. But no, I do.
Reese's
I know.
Pieces.
No, I say exactly what you said. Callie, my wife's brother, like rips on me about it.
Because I say Pieces?
Reese's Pieces. That's what you get. You get Reese's Pieces.
Reese's and Pieces.
It's no.
That's
you leave.
I say it the right
you go
way.
Go back over there.
No, I think I don't know. I started thinking about it. Peanut butter and chocolate. Like peanut butter and chocolate's really good, but I love Sour Patch Kids. Sour Patch Kids.
The watermelon ones stuff. Are better than regular.
I don't know if I agree with that one though.
Yep.
Last one. What were you doing last night, by the way?
What was last night? Oh yeah.
That was ugly.
Fuck you.
Brady,
it was ugly.
Brady, Belichick, Gronk.
Gronk, Brady, Belichick.
Did you see him? Did you see the video of him walking out, not high-fiving the kid?
I didn't.
That was funny.
I didn't. My brother was at the game, and like a person I work with was messaging me like, "Look at those Patriots. Yeah, they look like shit. There's no doubt about it. They couldn't get a first down. It's forever. 13. There was." The Lions had 13 first downs before the Patriots got one.
I didn't know the Patriots were going to lay such an egg. I'm used to them starting September very, very, very slow. But it seems like the Lions were going to have a game in them where it was going to make up for the egg they laid against the Jets. And this was the opportunity for that.
And like it's weird because like everyone was like, in the pregame, like everybody chose the Patriots to win. Coming off a loss, the Patriots are going to come out strong, blah, blah, blah. And like when you think about it, like Matt Patricia was such a good coach at the Patriots as well. That like, and him taking parts of what he learned at the Patriots to the Lions, like you knew he was going to be out. You know what I mean?
Especially like, with all the pressure he's been under.
Right.
Like there are Lion fans who like hate that guy after two games. And granted, Lions fans have a lot to complain about, and most of it very deservedly so, but two games is a little short.
So Tommy hates the Patriots, always has. He's a Browns fan.
Okay.
So he was super excited, right, because the Browns finally won.
Right.
Should be 3-0. Really, they should be. But he's like, the tides are turning. The tides are turning. And I was like, can we just stop right now, please?
Like there's a ripple in the pond as opposed to anything with tides. But
I mean, really, like, the Browns could be 2-1-1. They could have been 4-0.
And if I had wings, I would fly.
Cleveland was loving the free beer, though, I'm sure.
I know.
They're going
to
the Super Bowl. They're
Stop.
Doing it. They're doing it.
Tommy let his son stay up late, even though it was a school night. And he, like,
I mean, you should. This doesn't happen often.
Right. When he talks about it, he was like, it was a Super Bowl for us. Like, I let him stay up late.
I mean, the way people celebrated, you would think any other year it was like a Super Bowl, but those fans deserve that.
For sure. Tommy was wearing some Brown stuff to my softball game Friday night, and people were like, I see you busting it out. And he wears Brown stuff all the time. I mean, he's got his whole arm is tattooed in Brown stuff. He's like, I never take it off. And I'm like, please calm down. Like,
no,
I know you're
weekend.
A Browns fan. Like, he is a loyal Browns fan. Like, I took him to a game last year, like, as his Christmas gift, and we were, like, second row on the 50-yard line. And that's why, like, being at a game is... Oh, so much better. Like,
we'd never get it. We could never date. Never. Never. Tommy, keep her forever.
I hope he does.
You could give me 50-yard line tickets, field passes to the Super Bowl, and I'd be like, I'm going to stay home.
You give them to me.
I'd give them to you.
Cool.
I don't want any of that shit. Too many people, too much headaches, too many dumb people, too much parking problems.
I mean,
all of it.
Like, it's, yeah, like leading up to it can be stressful. But once you're there, like, if you eat before you go, so you don't have to worry about concessions. Now, Tommy has an old man bladder, so he goes to the bathroom, like, every half hour.
Right.
And I'll just wait the whole game, and, like, halfway home, I'm like, I can pee now. Like, can we stop? But, like, I don't know, just, like, we got into, like, my passion for sports, and I was like, I probably know more about sports than half the guys out there. You know, I was
like, I know you know more than Alex.
I'm not getting into half of these conversations.
You know, but I'm like, it's always been my passion. And so, like, I do kind of take pride in my knowledge of sports. Now, I might not be able to tell you who played for what team when, but I know when there's a penalty or when there should be, or, you know, that it's a touchdown, not a home run, you know.
That's very superficial, though. I mean, those are basics.
Some people don't know
that. I know. And that's why, you know, men rag on women when they claim to know about sports, because there are those. Are you concerned about the Patriots?
Whether they win or not, like, I'm still going to be a fan.
Right. But, I mean, are you concerned that, like, this is the year this whole thing falls apart?
And if it happens, it happens. Okay. And then they'll be like the Browns, and they'll just rebuild, and they'll finally get a team together that can do something.
Perhaps. I was thinking, once the Lions won last night, now, I'm pretty certain, because there haven't been night games forever, like multiple night games per week for a long time, but I'm going to guess that the Lions and Browns have never won in prime time during the same week, maybe ever.
That's probably a good stat to look up. Because probably hasn't happened.
Probably has never happened, because for a long time there's just like Sunday and Monday night games. Now there's always games. But I wonder when the last time both teams won on the same weekend was. That's probably been a couple of years too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I could ask Tommy when.
Ask him. Ask him to go look that up.
He's probably sitting in James's practice. Yeah, he's just not doing something. Oh, he says, what's up?
What's up? Keep your girl. I don't like rock or concerts or going to games. Well, you look good.
Well, thanks.
If you send me another text, like, you need a place to go, I'll find you a place.
I appreciate it.
And I'm glad that you, as far as, like, being a woman and knowing more than other women with sports, debatable, but you know more than most people know about themselves when it comes to getting themselves help. And I know you went through a long, painful road for that, but you have made incredible inroads. So you're in a great spot.
I'm working on it. I know it's never ending journey.
You just, no, exactly. And that's why I wake up every day to go to sleep a little bit better a person than I was in the morning. And most people aren't even on that road. And you even being on that road shows you just how far you've come and how far you've made it past people who have not had the struggles that you've had, who are just going through their mundane lives, you know, trying to do a good job at work, go home to their families, and just live a content life. You're trying to be a better human every day and for everyone that's in your life. And those are valuable things that a lot of people don't have.
Well, thanks. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Such kind words.
I'm a kind person for the most part. More dog pictures, please.
All right, I'll work on it.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.